from San Antonio, Texas, this is the Manly Training Podcast. My name is Eduardo Quintana. I'm your host, and I'm also the creator and founder of Manly Training. Listen to this podcast if you want your life to change. Instruction, discipline, and love. If you are to be a dad according to God's plan, you need to guide your children. You need to show them the way. And the way to do that is through instruction, discipline, and love. Leave any one of these three things out and you risk failing as a father. All three are important in order to have a balanced and healthy father-child relationship. That's next on the Manly Training Podcast. Let me tell you about an 8-year-old boy who was walking down the road one day when a car pulls over next to him. "Hey, if you get in the car," the driver said, "I'll give you $10 and a piece of candy." The boy refuses and keeps on walking. A few moments later, not to take no for an answer, the man driving the car pulls over again. "Hey, how about $20 and two pieces of candy?" The boy tells the man to leave him alone and keeps walking. Still further down the road, the man pulls over to the side of the road. "Okay," he says, "this is my final offer. I'll give you $50 and all the candy you can eat." The little boy stops, goes to the car, and leans in. "Look," he says to the driver, "you bought the minivan, Dad. You'll have to live with it." What can I say? I don't think I've ever had to pay my kids or bribe my kids to ride with me, either in our truck or in our minivan. Although I do think that some parents or fathers tend to bribe their kids, perhaps just to get them out of their hair so that they can go and do whatever they want. "Hey, son, here's $20. Go have fun while I go have my fun." You know, I heard someone say, we've given our children too much, too soon, and in some cases, it's too late. I do think that most parents' concern for their children is more material than spiritual. You see, if they're doing all right materially, making a living, then we don't worry about them. But what if they don't know the Lord? And what if they don't go to church? What then? How do we feel about that? Or do we even care? Now, I heard a story about a young boy who came to Sunday school late one day. His teacher knew that he was usually very prompt and asked him if anything was wrong. The boy replied no, that he was going fishing, but his dad had told him that he needed to go to church. Now, the teacher was very impressed and asked the boy if his dad had explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing, to which the boy replied, "Yes, he did. Dad said he didn't have enough bait for both of us." Now that sounds like some fathers, doesn't it? Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. We are commanded by our heavenly Father to honor our earthly fathers and mothers. Not only are we commanded to do this, we should want to do this. My father, Eduardo Alejandro Quintana, was not a perfect father, but he was a good father who I'm sure loved me and my siblings. Mom and Dad got divorced when I was but a baby, and Dad had a new family. He provided for his family, he protected them, and he tried to guide his children, including me, as best as he could. Now, the thing that bothers me the most about my father is that, as far as I know, he never accepted Christ. My father was 38 when he died, and I was but 17. I think he believed in Christ, but he never surrendered to Christ. I was 19 when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I was the first in my family to accept Christ. Now, a person must accept Christ in their mind in order to receive him in their heart. And my greatest wish for all fathers, as Father's Day approaches, is for them to accept Christ, to be baptized into him, and to live the Christian life. This is perhaps the greatest thing that any father could do for his family, for his children. Fathers, I want to bless you. I want to ask God to bless you today. I want to honor our fathers today by considering different aspects of a father's life from Scripture. I want to talk today about a father's instruction, a father's discipline, and a father's love. Let's start with a father's instruction. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." A father instructs and a mother teaches. Could it be that a father tells and a mother teaches? Could I make something of this? Instruction should include both telling and teaching from life. See, Proverbs 4, verse 1 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Why are these scriptures always pointed to sons? Why not to daughters? Do we sons have more to learn than the daughters? Do we go astray more, or are we more aggressive? Now, pay attention and gain understanding. Pay attention. How many times did I hear that? Those are the very words my dad used to say to me. "Eddie, pay attention to what you're doing." That's pretty good instruction right there. Now, I wonder how many listening to this message remember Will Rogers. Will Rogers died in a plane crash with Wiley Post in 1935. He was probably the greatest political brain or wit that this country has ever known. He had four children. Will Rogers Jr., who was born in 1911, died in 1993. Now, Jr. starred as his father in two featured movies and was a war hero, a successful actor, and a congressman. Mary Rogers, born 1913 and died 1989, was a Broadway actress. Jim Rogers, born 1915 and died in the year 2000. After starring in some cowboy movies as a young man, he spent his life as a horse and cattle rancher. Betty and Will Rogers' youngest son, Fred, died of diphtheria when he was just two. Now, here's some of Will Rogers' advice, which he no doubt gave to his children. Number one, never slap a man who's chewing tobacco. Number two, never kick a cow chip on a hot day. Number three, there are two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither one works. Four, never miss a good chance to shut up. Five, always drink upstream from the herd. Six, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Seven, the quickest way to double your money is to fold it and put it back in your pocket. Eight, good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Nine, if you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then to make sure it's still there. 10. Letting the cat out of the bag is a lot easier than putting it back. And number 11. After eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good that he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. The moral of the story? When you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Now, what kind of instruction did your father give you? I'm sure he instructed you about some things, either secular things or sacred things. I remember my dad instructed my brother Carlos and I on how to build house furniture. We made a chest that he used as a table in his living room, and we built some bunk beds for my brothers. Now, that instruction was very practical and useful. Dad was teaching us certain skills, and he was teaching us that we could do some things for ourselves and that we didn't always have to depend on someone else for something. Now, many of you men are able to do this today because your father taught you how. You need to be thankful for the skills that your father taught you. Fathers also instruct us in the realm of the sacred. That is, on going to church and reading the Bible, prayer, Christian services, etc. Now, at least they should. They don't always do this. Now, do you go to church today because of your father? How about reading the Bible? How about treating people right because your father gave you that good example? One mother said, quote, "While I was driving with my 7-year-old daughter, Katie, She kept encouraging me to go faster. I explained to her that I was already going the speed limit and could not legally drive any faster. Not satisfied with my reasoning, Katie replied, "You need to get a car like Dad's. It has a faster speed limit." We parents, we teach and instruct our children one way or another. Now, if you've learned any good Christian things from your father, then thank God and thank him if he's still alive. Now, let's talk a little bit about a father's discipline. Now, this is a touchy subject. Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, "A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." Let me tell you the story of Anne from Florida, who said, quote, "While listening to the song Train Up a Child, my daughter asked me what train up means. I explained that it means to teach children about God and about the difference between right and wrong. Are you and Dad training me up?" she asked. "We're trying to," I said. Emily turned back to the stereo and muttered, "We'll see about that." It takes discipline to train up a child. And fathers and mothers use various methods to discipline their children. Let me illustrate that with a story about Jennifer from California, who wrote, quote, "Our three-year-old son, Jared, spends hours playing in a sandbox. He was told that the sand stays inside the sandbox. One afternoon, things were particularly quiet in the backyard. You know how things are when the kids get quiet. Something's up. So I went outside to check on Jared, only to find him throwing sand outside the sandbox. Deciding that this would be a good teaching opportunity, I walked towards the sandbox with a broom and a dustpan and asked Jared to sweep up the mess he made. After he was done sweeping, I asked him what he had learned from the situation. He thought for a moment, and then he replied, that I like to sweep?" Now, a father of a teenage son said to his neighbor, "Junior's at that awkward age. He's too old for spanking and he's too young for analysis. I wonder what age that is." As long as children are at home, they're not too old to be disciplined in some form or another. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He who spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." And Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Folly," or foolishness, "is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." So tell me, how did your father discipline you? Now, the method is not so important as just doing the job. You see, one man who attained a high position in life attributed his success to two factors. He said, quote, "I was brought up at the knees of a devoted woman, my mom, and across the knees of a determined man, my father." Someone said that a child's character can be improved by a pat on the back, provided that that pat is administered often enough, hard enough, and low enough. You need to thank God today if you've had a father who loved you enough to take the time to discipline you. Now, let's talk about a father's love. Proverbs 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 say, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you." These words sound like a father talking to his son, but in reality, it's the wisdom of God speaking. Let love never leave you. I found this poem that illustrates a father's love. Let me read it to you. We hear about a mother's love in a story and in song, how staunch it is through trial and storm, how tender and strong, how sweet and pure and beautiful, and every word is true. But what about a father's love that claims some notice too? A father delves the darksome mine and climbs the girders high and swings upon the scaffolding between the earth and the sky. It's father who bends his aching back and bows his graying head to bear the burdens of the day and earn the children's bread. For both must work and both must plant and do an equal share to rear the little ones the Lord has trusted to their care. all honor to the mother's love. The universe it fills, but when you praise it, don't forget that father pays the bills. So how do fathers demonstrate their love? One way is by going to work, by providing for the family. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, any way that you look at it, a father should provide for his family as best he can. That's a part of loving them. But there's more to loving our children than just providing for them. In the diary of Brooks Adams, there's a note about a special day when he was 8 years old. He wrote, quote, went fishing with my father, the most glorious day of my life, close quote. And through the next 40 years, there were constant references to that day and the influence that it had on his life. His dad took him fishing. His dad spent time with him. I think that's called an act of love. The action of love. What did your father do with you or for you to show his love for you? In the summer of 1982, my father took the four of us Quintana kids to Huastepec, to my grandparents' summer house. Now, I'd never been there before, since just weeks earlier, I had just met my father for the first time. You see, Mom and Dad had gotten divorced when I was a baby, like I mentioned earlier, and Mom and I had been living in Gladstone, Missouri, while my dad had been living in Mexico City, and I'd never met him. I was just 14 years old at that time, and I'm sure it was great, but I don't remember a thing about it. Now, I know that sounds terrible, but as I look back now, I realize what a great sacrifice of time and money that was to drive all the way out there. It had to be a tremendous act of love, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. You see, my dad had to earn that money. He had to take time off work, and he had to drive all that distance from Mexico City. I know that he loved me. There are many ways that fathers show love to their children and for their children. Michael W. Smith is a very popular contemporary Christian soloist. Here's what he said about his father. Quote, when my dad comes up missing at a dinner party, I always know exactly where to find him. In the kitchen. He'll be in there, apron around his waist, washing dishes. That's just one example of his servant's heart. Serving seems to come naturally and effortlessly for my father. I remember one time he was working in the garage and he saw an elderly lady carrying a bag of groceries by her house. He immediately went out to help her. Time and again, I've watched him drop whatever he was doing to help someone carry a bag of groceries, fix a car, or repair a broken appliance. I hope someday I'll be as good at serving others as he is. If that happens, I'll have to say, I learned it from my dad. Close quote. See, wow, Michael W. Smith is a blessed man to have such a loving father. And brothers and sisters that are listening to this podcast right now, if you've had a loving father, then thank God and imitate that love. Let me tell you about one winter day when a man found it necessary to go see a neighbor who lived beyond a steep and rugged mountain. He had climbed the dangerous trail for some time through the drifted snow when suddenly he heard a voice behind him call out, be careful, Daddy, I'm walking in your steps. God bless you, fathers. Bless you in your fathering. Bless you in your walk through life. And until next time, be a man.